traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm the Deputy Director of Communications at the National Cannabis Industry Association. Today, I have a couple of guests who sit on our Risk Management and Insurance Committee, Doug Esposito and Kevin Mullins. Doug Esposito has been a property and casualty specialist with Assured Partners and an industry leader in multifaceted insurance programs and risk management since 2002. He leads the firm's renewable energy and cannabis practice with specific expertise in these industries. Doug currently serves as the co-chair of the California Cannabis Industries Risk Management Committee, as well as NCIA's Risk Management and Insurance Committee. And he's been an active member in the cannabis community for the last 8+ years. We also have Kevin Mullins, who is Vice President of Emerging Markets for 3SI. In his current role, he leads the company's efforts to identify and penetrate new and emerging markets through the creation and execution of vertical market strategies. He's focused on the high growth and security needs within the cannabis industry. He's published numerous white papers and is an author in over 20 business and cannabis journals. Happy to have both of you on the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bethany.
Thank you, Bethany.
Awesome. So I'd love to get to know you both a little bit better. It's your first time on the show. Let's learn more about your background and experience and more of the things you were doing prior to moving into the cannabis space. Doug, let's start with you.
Sure. I've been in insurance for 20 plus years, but before insurance, I was actually a commercial general contractor. And that led me to kind of writing insurance for the construction industry, you know, probably still doing construction today, but also about 8 or 9 years ago, that's when I really entered the insurance and risk management space for cannabis. So not super sexy, but not bad.
Hey, somebody's got to do it. Kevin, what about you? What's your background like?
Oh, hey, Bethany. I was a banker for 23 years. So very interesting kind of coming from that background into what I'm doing now. I left banking in 2010, really because it wasn't that much fun at that point, coming out of the financial crisis and wanted to do something else. So I started a software company. And we sold back to banks and to credit unions and, hit a bit of, I won't say a home run, but we had a nice start with that company and we were successful. Was bought out by a private equity group. From there, I migrated over into really more of the security side of things. So working in a next generation 911 solution. So working with that company, growing out different types of protection solutions. And then from there, I migrated over into my current role. So working with 3SI.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Great. So how did you both come from these, pretty stable, pretty straightforward industries and get involved in cannabis, which even 8+ years into legal cannabis sales is still really highly regulated, really constant moving parts. What made you want to get involved in this industry? How did that happen?
You know, it was interesting. I've got a dear friend and she's a CPA and had a large book of construction clients. And then she started dating this guy and he was a grower. And sure enough, as soon as the regs started changing 2015, she said, Doug, hey, I got an attorney who wants to focus in this. I'll do the accounting side. What do you think about the insurance? And so I just kind of pivoted. I did some research and I looked at the marketplace and where it was moving and what carriers were there. And I just kind of saw it as a great business opportunity. I mean, it cutting edge, dynamic, exciting, a little bit of you know, poop disturbing, if you will, get to go against, you know, the grain. And boom, I committed. I said, all right, I'm in. And then it's just a matter of digging in and learning everything you can and seeing as many grows and extractions and dispensaries as you can to just know exactly what they're doing so you know how to protect them.
The green tour, right? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, the first time I walked into like a huge state-of-the-art cannabis warehouse here in Denver, a grow facility with the different rooms, mind blown, right?
No, totally. And especially some of those extraction facilities. I mean, they're like clean rooms.
Yep. You betcha. How about you, Kevin? What made you jump into the green rush, which what a weird phrase, but.
So I mentioned earlier that I was working with a video 911 solution, and 3SI became the distributor of this platform. And so we're selling out into different types of retail establishments, selling into the banking industry, selling into finance. And really it's a security type platform. And so in kind of migrating into that, I came over to work with 3SI. So they hired me in as vice president of emerging markets. And it's like, okay, what are emerging markets? And so those are new high growth, high risk verticals. And obviously cannabis is number one. I mean, it's the fastest growing industry in North America. And it is, I mean, there's risk involved in it. And from a physical security standpoint, you know, so protecting all of your operations and, you know, there's a need in that. And so that was a natural migration for me. And then once I got involved, you know, in the cannabis industry, it's just the most amazing. I wake up every day happy because of the people that I work with, the growth, the energy, the excitement in the industry. And so I'm that guy that loves his job.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah. I think a lot of people in this industry, despite it being, you know, a little bit more difficult than some others, really can say the same thing for themselves, to be able to work in something that you feel like you're actually making a difference. You can be passionate about it. You have a little extra pep in your step when you get to add and combine, you know, your livelihood with things that you care about as well. Quick side question. Did either of you have a relationship with the plant, as we like to say, prior to getting, you know, getting your hands dirty in the industry?
I love the way you phrase that stuff, Bethany. Hey, I'll take this one first, Kevin, because not really. So I was really ignorant. I'm talking ignorant, but I had a cousin who had been growing, you know, for 25 plus years. And when he would come over to the house, he'd always light up. And I was like, hey, to each his own. And it was just, you know, I would grab the beer and the whiskey and he'd pull out a big joint and the kids were asleep and he would just do his thing. And it just, so I really didn't know anything what everyone was talking about it, the challenges, until all of a sudden you start researching, you go to an event, and then you really start seeing the challenges, especially from the OGs. And the medicinal side, though, for me, really just gets me excited. I mean, the opportunity for pain management and sleep and maybe drug withdrawals, I mean, just is really intoxicating. But yeah, so I'm not a heavyweight user, but I definitely partake. And I don't think I've had, I've never not had a good high. Let me put it that way.
Wonderful. How about you, Kevin?
So Doug says he's ignorant. I was more ignorant than Doug to the industry. but the exposure, you know, to the industry has been amazing, and the benefits and the need, and it kind of expanding on what Doug said. It's just, it's so nice to be involved that I will say that my understanding is growing. So, it's exciting to, you know, to do what I do, and just, you know, being a part of cannabis for me is an amazing thing.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that side of your stories as well. Before we take our first commercial break, we've already established that you're both on NCIA's Risk Management and Insurance Committee. Just tell me a little bit more about you and your companies as well that are members of.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
NCIA.
So Assured Partners is I think we did $2 billion in revenue, 7,000 employees. So a large top 10, top 15 brokerage. But at the end of the day, I mean, it really just comes down to what's a team committed to. And that's my role. I mean, my role is really to be out front and to stay current on everything from technology like Kevin's that can help reduce claims to the various markets to new products, et cetera. And for that, then I'm called upon as subject matter expert to really support my colleagues across the country as they develop relationships in cannabis. And then I obviously anchor and have my own clients as well as support them throughout the US. So it's challenging at times because our industry just lags behind the cannabis industry. We're trying to keep up. But it's like Kevin said, it's pretty fun. Challenging for sure, but fun.
Yeah, for sure. All right. How about you, Kevin?
So my company 3SI is really the world's leader in GPS asset protection solutions. So being able to include advanced technologies, whether we're protecting cash, protecting product, transports, people, our company's 51 years old. We really started kind of in the banking industry with the old smoke and die, right? The bad guy steals the money, goes out the door, and the money blows up. Well, over the years, that has migrated into a GPS solution. So kind of a one-to-many solution. So being able to protect that. We have an excellent recovery rate in the cannabis industry. Overall, we have technology in over 200,000 locations worldwide. So we're in 46 countries. It's kind of one of the larger companies you've never heard of because it is a very kind of covert, kind of clandestine type technology, but we really control that market. And so when we're talking about cannabis, it is high risk and it's all cash for the most part. Right. You have product that is extremely valuable. You have transports that include risk, and then you have staff that you have to take care of as well. So that's the core of what we do. And cannabis is, certainly, it's an emerging market for us.
Absolutely. All right, let's take that first commercial break, and then we'll come right back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Stay tuned.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio, and I'm your host, Bethany Moore, chatting with a couple folks from our Risk Management and Insurance Committee, Doug Esposito and Kevin Mullins. So let's dive into some issues in our industry. Many areas of the country are unfortunately seeing an increase in cannabis dispensary robberies, to the point where some are using the phrase an epidemic of robberies. Let's talk a little bit about what's causing this sharp increase in these crimes, which, we knew that it a cash heavy business, as you mentioned right before the break, that kind of attracts a criminal element. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll jump in on that one. Absolutely. It's, the ability or the inability to have access to really, core banking protocols, being able to access the banking platforms, being able to access payment systems. It's driving that. But we're going into almost a perfect storm with what we're seeing from a robbery standpoint. It's post-COVID. It's there are economic issues that are now coming into play. We have inflation growing. Take Washington State, for instance. There have been 175 armed robberies of cannabis dispensaries already in 2022. So much to the point that, the Washington State Senate has approved an increase in penalties for these assailants who are conducting these crimes. And, you know, crime is up and it can continue to grow. We're seeing kind of new points of vulnerability that are building on that, and kind of how we manage that, how we deal with what those issues are. Even parking lot crime, you know, we're seeing a 69% increase in parking lot crime out there right now. But, you know, it is, the issue is access to banking systems, being able to deposit those monies, having to deal primarily in cash, having to store, you know, significant amounts of cash, payment systems access. Again, those new points of vulnerability. And some of this is even kind of, you know, it's labor driven. You know, we have deliveries, we have transport. So we have these, again, multiple points of failure, multiple points of liability, and how we deal with that. We've learned through COVID, you know, we have to do more with less now, right? And so tying back into the labor concerns that, you know, it's a difficult job market out there. And so now we have turnover. You know, how do we train those employees? How do we keep them up to speed with what our compliance is, what our procedures are, what our policies? And as those continue to break down, we see increases in crime. And we'll continue to see that as the industry continues to grow. And so that's a lot of what's driving it. But back to your point, Bethany, it's primarily just the inability to have access to the federal banking system.
Mm-hmm. Wow, those numbers are pretty dark. That's like three robberies a day, you know, because it's only the end of March now. That's really, wow. What are your thoughts on all that?
So I think Kevin was extremely accurate and eloquent. I mean, it really is a perfect storm. And we're seeing that obviously with much more insurance claims being filed. And, you know, there's a lot more scrutiny as far as, you know, what people are doing and is the insurance responding. So it's definitely a challenging time for sure. Because if you think about it, anytime you're going to try to utilize insurance, it's like an asset where it literally becomes more expensive. So definitely everything seems to be going up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, right. So let's talk about some legislation, the Safe Banking Act, the Secure and Fair Enforcement Banking Act. That piece has passed the House of Representatives and Congress a handful of times now over the years. That would allow cannabis businesses access to the federal banking system. That really protecting the banks themselves, right? How would this like directly relieve the stress and the suffering for our licensed cannabis operators out there?
Yeah, I'll jump on that one. You know, it's all cash. You know, imagine an industry taking a bag of cash to pay their sales tax. You know, yep. And so, and which is exactly what happens. It almost seems ridiculous, you know, that we have this, the fastest growing industry really in North America, and the fact that they don't have access to, you know, what's the core banking system. You know, the government wants the tax revenue, but not giving the ability to provide access to the federal banking system, you know, and it can be expensive. I mean, you can, you know, a cannabis operation can find a bank or a credit union willing to, you know, conduct these transactions, but federally, you know, monies, you know, gained, monies derived from the sale of cannabis is viewed as money laundering. And so all of the pieces that come into play, so these banks and credit unions, you can bank, but it becomes so expensive because with every transaction, you know, that entity has to file a suspicious activity report or a mm-hmm. SAR. And it becomes almost to the detriment of the cannabis operator that you're not allowed to open things up. Yes, you can introduce some cash to the system, but it is so just inefficient and ineffective for the operator. It becomes difficult. It's, you know, the Safe Banking Act keeps coming up. And when we keep every year, we're more excited and we think, hey, this is going to come through finally. And we see passage and ultimately it gets left on the floor. We have to come together, and the NCIA has been amazing at pushing this, and we all have to come together, you know, to make sure that the industry gets access to, you know, these banking platforms, reducing the risk within the operation, reducing risk to staff members, reducing risk to the communities, you know, by opening that up. And that's where, you know, we continue to see the push. It's going to pass. We just don't know exactly when.
Sure. We got to put some pressure on the Senate side at this point. Any thoughts on that, Doug?
Yeah, because, I mean, Kevin, wouldn't you also agree that cash is obviously one real big challenge. But the other, though, is as you mentioned before, it's just an extremely expensive product. It's they're highly motivated to steal it. There's a very well established illicit market. So they can serve that channel, the criminals, all day long. So the banking will definitely soften some of those constraints, but still you're going to have a very, very sought after product. This challenge isn't going away anytime soon.
Yeah. And, you know, there's definitely all this risk that surrounds operating a cannabis business, especially the retail dispensary storefronts, right? So since we're talking about risk management and insurance, from a cannabis insurer's perspective, I can think of some stories and examples just from working in the industry that I've heard, but some stories or examples from what you could share of a robbery event and the impact that it had on the cannabis operation, everything from financially to how they operate day to day to the aftermath and then reputations to consider. What are your thoughts around that?
You know, I can give an example of, you know, cannabis operator. So this is an operator that owns a limited number of dispensaries, but they also worked on the wholesale side. So they're a wholesale distributor. And so they're transporting cash and product. Transport, typical day, you know, white van goes out and they're, you know, delivering there. Again, it's a cash intensive industry. So you're exchanging what can be a very, as to Doug's point, a very marketable product for obviously cash. Mm-hmm. In this case, a $300,000 transport with a combination of cash and product. The transport was compromised. The assets were taken from the vehicle, and it ended up being a $300,000 loss to that operator. And this was a difference in that operator going from operating in the black that year to going in the red.
Right.
In talking with the operator later, they thought they had covered. So they thought they had proper coverage through their property and casualty. A policy that they would be covered. It wouldn't be a $300,000 loss. They had a $25,000 deductible, and they would recover $275,000. The property problem is that coverage did not cover transports. You know, once your product leaves, you know, your facility, leaves your operation, you're out in the wild at that point. And so huge loss for the operator. You know, the profitability for that year's gone, and they felt like they had stepped back almost 3 years. Adding insult to injury, it's an employee was actually injured in that event. And now you have a workers' comp claim, you know, that gets tied onto the mix with that. And you also have morale issues. You have employee turnover. You have reputational risks that follow when events like that happen. It ended up that one event, you know, ended up costing the operator over $500,000. And
wow.
So those are the risks that fly out there. And that's one example. I mean, I have several, but just an idea of, you know, the potential risks that are associated with robberies and with other assaults.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to jump to our last commercial break here in a second. But as soon as we get back from the commercial break, we'll continue our conversation about these really frustrating scenarios that could be lessened, maybe not entirely resolved, but could certainly be alleviated by passing banking at the federal level. So let's take that commercial break and then we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm chatting with Doug and Kevin from our Risk Management and Insurance Committee. We were just sharing kind of a very specific example of a robbery in the cannabis industry and all the aftermath and all the negativity that came from just one incident. Doug, before we move on to best practices going forward, were there any anecdotes or examples that you've seen over the years that you wanted to share?
Yeah, sure. I mean, those are all really good points, because it's really tough to put a dollar amount on reputational risk. I mean, because you can lose clients or patrons because they could become fearful, especially if a dispensary is broken into. But the other kind of hidden cost is once you have a claim like that, the way these insurance policies are written and the applications, I mean, you have to disclose all that, even if it wasn't insurance there to cover it. And that causes your insurance costs to even go up even higher. So it's just a cascading effect that make it more challenging after any of these things happen, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Here in Denver several years ago, there was a robbery at a dispensary, and there are security guards that stand in the front or outside of all of our dispensaries here. And unfortunately, he lost his life in that robbery. Oof. Yeah, so I mean, it can pay the ultimate price, honestly. All right. So, but looking at some silver linings, there's things that cannabis operators maybe can do to protect themselves a little bit. You know, what's a girl to do to protect a cannabis dispensary from an insurance perspective, but also just from a holistic perspective as well, what kind of advice comes to mind that we could share?
Yeah, I'll take this one first. I mean, and this might sound self-serving, but it's truly not. I mean, first and foremost, purchase property insurance or any insurance for your business that is proper for your business. Because think about it, if you don't have business interruption or cargo coverage or coverage for fire, and one of those events happen, you're in cannabis. You can't simply go down to the bank and get an SBA loan, you know, for $500,000 and restart again. So, you know, you suffer a large claim and it's uninsurable, you're really going to close your doors. I mean, insurance is the easiest, quickest way to draw down on an asset, to make the company whole, to bring it back to where it was. And so that's number one. And number two, though, is if you're going to spend the money on the insurance, you've got to know all of the loss control measures and warranties that you're purporting that you have in place are actually in place. For example, you know, secured entryways and fire and burglar alarms that are connected to the central station, and specific restricted access to the vaults and safe surveillance cameras. You know, stock is locked up after hours. Your vault has 1 hour fire rating. I mean, I'm just not hitting a complete list, but these are all things that are going to make it harder to access and steal your product, but that they're literally coverage precedent. If you don't have those things in place and you said you did to the carrier, there will be absolutely no coverage. So buy the right insurance and then make sure you've got the safety mechanisms in place so that you actually can utilize your insurance. That's kind of one and two. And then, I mean, and Kevin's got some pretty intriguing technology where you start to layer some of that in. You know, Kevin, it definitely talk about some of the added technology you guys bring to the table.
Oh, you know, you use the right term, Doug. It's a layered approach. So what are the best practices? And so it's a layered approach to security. Yes, you have, you know, mandated solutions. You have access control, intrusion, and alarms, and vaults, and, you know, cameras, as you mentioned. But there are solutions like GPS. And so being able to layer that technology in, and it's really catching the criminal in the middle of the crime. So effectively, let them get caught by giving them what they want, you know. And so, you know, Bethany, you mentioned armed guards. Armed guards can be very expensive, you know, and data shows that they can be very ineffective. Often it's the first hostage or it's another gun on site. And there are lots of, you know, kind of stories out there about, you know, how shootouts happened and those types of things. And so, again, you're looking for those advanced solutions out there and understanding what the resources are from a law enforcement perspective, you know, that, we have cameras, we collect data, but if it's forensic data, what's the value, and how soon can this data be utilized, and how soon can potentially a criminal be caught? So that's really where we try and build a solution, and the industry has to consider, yes, we need this layered approach to, at a micro level, protect our cannabis operation, but at a macro level, it's industry protection. It's understanding we move forward. It's like it used to be at one point, you didn't really want a bank in your neighborhood because of concerns about the risk, but now you want the bank because of the convenience. So it's the same direction that we want cannabis to go. So being able to have that dispensary on the corner because of the convenience and the need for it, but ultimately eliminating the risk. And that's certainly what we encourage.
Right. Awesome. Well, we've run out of time for this episode, but I really appreciate you both joining us and discussing these robberies and what cannabis operators can do to protect themselves. Obviously, a little bit of insurance goes a long way. And I also want to make sure everyone is ready for the 8th Annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo happening July 20th through 22nd, 2022 in San Francisco. More information will be available at cannabisbusinesssummit.com. And thanks again to you both for being on the show. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.